many overcomers we got tonight. Yes. Amen. Yeah. If you got Jesus in you, you should be. Amen. Amen. Romans. I'm kind of off subject here, but I feel like I'd love to do this. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How many are in Christ Jesus tonight? Not you? Me? Condemnation. What is condemnation? It means you have been issued a judgment with no way out. There's no escape. Well, guess what? There is escape for you tonight, isn't there? And then it goes on and it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you know you can't fix yourself? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, you're void from personal responsibility or anything. But what we're talking about is, if you could fix yourself, you wouldn't need Jesus. If you could heal yourself, you don't need Jesus. If you could save yourself, you don't need Jesus, right? He's like, Lord, I got it all figured out. Well, that's called flesh, and that's called trying to do things your way. Like that friend Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. Okay, that nobody is. Frank who? Right? Is a little bit old. Right? Okay, never mind. All right, moving along. But the point is, can I just say something? That when we get into what we call sin consciousness, what that is, that's more, we're more aware of our mistakes than we are the victory Jesus gave us. Do you understand? And what happens is you'll never have a breakthrough in your life if you're focused on your mistakes rather than the goodness and the greatness of God. The Bible is all about getting our thinking in line with. See, the Bible is a book that we can transform our thinking. That's why Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on this book, right? Because it's not that you're trying to get God to do something. It's you're getting your thinking lined up with what God wants to do for you. Do you understand? See, the Bible talks about God is waiting to do things before you're even there, right? You got to understand that God has laid things out for you before you get there, right? See, the gold was in the fish's mouth before Jesus and the disciples got there. Why? Because God's plan was already in place. And so the provision's there when you get there, right? That's why it's just so incredible, people. There's got to be a God. I'm just telling you right now, there has to be God, because why did God know to put billions of gallons of oil under the ground? That doesn't make sense, right? Because we need it. See, everything, God has everything you need. The provision's already there. It's already there, right? I remember as a kid, I was drowning one time, and guess what? God put somebody there to rescue me. We just think that everything just happens for, well, I don't know, God. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm way off track, but it's okay. We need to get out of the sin consciousness. Guess what? You're not good enough. You're right. You're right. You're absolutely not good enough. But Jesus is. You know what? I've come to a conclusion a long time ago. I am a big loser. But Jesus delivered me. Amen. I am free from that. I don't care. Because I am just a bag of walking dirt compared to Jesus. Jesus made me and he made you who you are. There's nothing for you to prove. God is not impressed with you at all. Don't try to impress God and say, well, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to be good. God is like, I know you cannot do it on your own. See, that's liberating, getting yourself to the point. See, the Ten Commandments were not given to Moses because God knew that they were going to break them. It's just a matter of time. I mean, I like the sentiment that we have the Ten Commandments in a lot of our government buildings. It talks about the Judeo-Hebrew Christian faith. I understand that. But guess what? God knew that when he was going to give the Ten Commandments to Moses, they weren't going to be able to keep them anyway. Why did he give them to? It was to see where they needed God. Do you understand? When they saw the Ten Commandments, they knew, we're not going to be able to fulfill all the Ten Commandments. When we look at this, we say, we can't do it, so we need a Savior. Right? King David, in the Bible, God, the Lord says that King David was a man of his own heart. You know, King David was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He broke like all the Ten Commandments. Do you realize that? And I'm not giving an excuse for sin, but my point is this, that David... His whole family was a complete dysfunctional mess, wasn't it? Absolute disaster. But what happened with David was he could get his heart when the prophet Samuel and Eli, they would confront King David about his sin. Guess what he did? He repented. Instantly, he repented. So my point is you're never going to be good enough for God. Just get that. Let's just get that right out right now. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. Okay? Because if you were, we wouldn't need Jesus. Hello? So, but the point is, he came to rescue us and to deliver us. So my faith is not in my ability to do things right. My faith is in God's ability to help me out.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I just hope that everything works out. And they, you know what? I've got enough ability in God that he can wake me up in the middle of the night and help me out and give me direction. And I've had that happen before where... He's, you know, it all goes back to the love of God. It really goes back to the love of God because you know what? God loves you so much, he's not going to let you go off the rail with all the tracks, right? He's not going to let you go be railroaded. He's not going to let you go off the... If you're open and if you are actively seeking him and saying, God, I need your help, guess what? He said he never gave us over sins.
Amen.
Would you forgive right
now? Amen.
Yeah, let's see what you got, right? Well, hello? Right? We need to get out of the sin consciousness garbage that we're in and say we're not good enough. You're right, you're not good enough. I'm not good enough. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus is he is the one that they call the way. He is the way. What? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way to what? The way to the Father. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. In the Garden of Eden, God had a plan. He had a plan. He already had a way out for us. When we missed it. That's why we weren't created in the image of a dog. That's why we weren't created in the image of a giraffe or whatever. What's the big one now? Sloths, right? Sloths are cool. Everything's a sloth, right? You know? What's that one cartoon? The guy with the sloth that's in a speedy car or whatever. That's his name. Anyway, but... No, we were made in God's image. Why were we made in God's image? So he can redeem us. God is not going to pervert himself and come back as a dog and redeem us. No, we were made in God's image. One of the things is because we're sons and daughters. The other thing is so he can come back and redeem us if we miss the mark. I would say it this way. I think, you know what? Probably everything would have been going on perfect all these generations, and I'm probably the one who would have screwed it up. So you ever think about those things like, Adam and Eve, and everybody keeps going on. I'm like, yeah, I'm probably not glad they would have screwed everything up for you, but you know what? At some point, probably somebody would have missed the mark. But God is so good that he would have had a plan before you got there. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Everything you're dealing with right now, God's already got a plan, and he had a plan before the beginning of time, before he created the earth. We were in his mind. He had a plan for everything, right? Nothing throws God off. Oh my goodness, I'm dealing with this stuff. God is having a coronary in heaven thinking, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? He's like, I've already got the provision here. And I already planned it out millions of years ago before you even created. So we just need to get free from ourselves, from our thinking of we're already screwed up fast. You're right. You're nothing without God. But you know what? We can see that he loves us so much that we are his prized possession. Mm-hmm. And I have more faith in God getting a hold of me and never letting me go.
Amen.
Well, I just don't know if God's, you know, happy with me or anything else. Are you kidding? He said he never leave us nor forsake us. He's never going to let us go.
Yes.
He's like a pit bull on a stake. He is never going to let you go. Mm-hmm. unless you walk away from him. Mm-hmm. Right? So we just need to get this garbage off of us. See, Ephesians, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're there? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read that again. Therefore, Romans 8:1, it says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. Guess what? There is a way out. Condemnation leaves you hanging and condemned with no answer, no deliverance, nothing. And the Bible says that that doesn't apply to you if you're in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? There is always a way. There's a healing provided. He gives you stability of mind. He cares for you. See, this is where denominations and religious people, they think that, oh, God is everything. And I love the old Gospels, don't get me wrong, about talking about heaven. And I watch people who've been to heaven and all their testimonies really encourage me. I love it. I can't wait to see family and friends there. It's going to be awesome. But you know what? We can have heaven here on earth.
Yes.
You are no more saved today than you will be in heaven. You are just as much saved today as you will be in heaven. There's no difference, other than you're going to have a glorified body someday, right? You don't have to pay bills.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah. But you need chocolate and pork and every other thing in heaven, and nobody cares, right? I mean, think about it. When we get to heaven, we're going to have the supper of the Lamb, right? I mean, that's eating. There's a lot of eating in heaven. I love it. It's great. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Eating.
Yeah.
But it's a great time. But you know, the cool thing is, we're just as much saved as we are today than we are in heaven. You're no more saved in heaven than you are today. Because we are what? The family. In Ephesians, it says that we're the family, what? Here on heaven and in earth, right?
Yes.
In chapter 1, verse 2, or chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3. So what's that mean? That we're all the same family, it's just we're in different addresses right now. Mm-hmm. Hello? My grandma died. She had a smile on her face. She loved Jesus, right? She died. She just had a big old smile on her face. But one of the sweetest ladies you ever meet. Just real sweetest, just wonderful lady. Guess what? We're just separated right now, right? I'll be with her. I'll be with other family members. My grandparents, you know, born again, saved people, right? We'll hook up in heaven again. We'll reconnect in heaven again. Amen. There's just a time delay between when we're going to reconnect. Same family. We're just different addresses. We'll reconnect, right? My grandmother is no more saved than I am today. We are children of God. My grandpa, other members, all of my other family and friends and people that I know that have gone on to step over with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go there. I don't know where I'm going tonight, but I love it.
Hallelujah.
We just need to get free tonight, don't we?
Amen.
We need to release our thinking.
Yes.
You know what? The devil wants to bring pressure that it's your responsibility. Well, you know, again, we read the word. What happens is we have a religious mindset. Sometimes we have a religious mindset. But we want to get over into God's job instead of doing the Bible tells us to do.
Mm-hmm.
We try to do God's job. Well, we just got to get him healed. Why are you getting healed? I can't heal anybody. Can you do that? I can't get anybody saved. You know, you listen to these conversations and they're like, well, we got some people saved. Well, I didn't get anybody saved. All I am is the delivery boy. I don't get anybody healed. I don't do anything. Nothing. And don't ever look to me to save you or to heal you or to do anything. Because I get scared around people who talk about, oh, I got this person healed, I got this person healed. No, Jesus got him healed. I'm the delivery. I'm the conduit between him and them. He deserved the glory. He's the one that's doing everything. I didn't do anything. Ephesians chapter 6, we read this last week, but we need to go there again tonight. And it says, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, this is where the fight's at, right? This is where you deal with is the gray matter between your ears, right? Why? Because the gray matter, your thinking, is the conduit between your spirit man and the natural realm. You are, oh boy, can I say this without people thinking I'm New Age or something? You are in between dimensions, right? We are in our spirit man is in the spirit realm. Our natural is in the natural realm, like right here. And what happens is, our mind is trying to delineate between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then I have this all the time. Was that me or was it God? Well, where did it come from, right? Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm really glad you're here tonight. You know it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it goes on, verse 13, therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, withstand. Last week I said it's not when the evil day, if not if the evil day comes, it's when. And you got to be ready for it, right?
Yeah.
See, again, we have shot ourselves in the foot, and I apologize for all the faith preachers out there. They just think you're going to quote the word and all your problems are going to float away. That's not it at all. Guess what? You're going to lose a family member someday, right? It's going to happen. Unless Jesus comes back. I mean, it will happen. And it's not that I'm trying to be gloom and doom or anything, but it's just, am I going to have joy in the process when things come? Right? Because, yeah, I may miss people, but if I know the Lord again, man, praise God. See, it's against how am I going to react to the enemy. And it says, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, right? And he's following God, living right. Well, righteousness is what? It's God's, what God has done for you. See, there are books out there, it's really good, and the Apostle Paul talks about the revelation of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness means that God has positioned you, not based on your actions, but based on the actions of Jesus. The devil will fight you in this area. This is where the battle's at, is your revelation of righteousness, right? I come against and battle the devil, not in my ability, but in God's ability. I am a son of God, not the son of God, not Jesus, but I am a son of God, right? Mm-hmm. People get all crazy about that stuff, really because Adam was, right? Mm-hmm. And Adam was my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-
for him, then guess what? That means I'm the lineage of him. And you know, the crazy thing was the Bible talks about how Adam was the son of God, but when Jesus said it, they're ready to stone him. Well, didn't we all come from Adam and Eve? Hello? I mean, just the common sense. Adam, you just can't fix stupid. That's what I say all the time. You just can't fix stupid. But anyway, then he goes on, it says, your feet shut for the preparation of the gospel. Here we go. Above all, verse 16, taking the shield of faith, well, you shall be able to, here's the warfare, quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Right? This is what you're dealing with. The fiery darts. What are the fiery darts? Well, they're revealed. What are the fiery darts? I know they're talking about me. I know. I know they're saying trash about me. Right? Did you see the way she looked at me? Did you see the way he looked at me? Did you see this? Right? See, that's the fiery darts, right? That you stay up all night, the devil works on you. You know, I've been there before. You're up at night, remember that, like you pop head and you're sleeping, all of a sudden 3 o'clock in the morning, you're ping. And then all of a sudden the devil goes, guess what? And then you can't go back to sleep because he's messing with you the whole time. And then I put on my headphones, listen to the word or something, right? So the devil's figured out that in the middle of the night, that's when the Holy Spirit, the Lord speaks to me about things because my mind's quiet. And then I always find that too. The devil likes to do that too about 3 o'clock in the morning when my mind's all clear, because guess what? Then he can dump his garbage into me. Mm-hmm. Well, this is where the fiery dart comes in, right?
Yeah.
Well, how are we going to deal with it? Now, I don't accept that. See, the fiery darts are not just, I mean, it can range from anything, from I'll never get my healing, to am I saved? Mm-hmm. Is that really me praying in tongues? Is that God? Hello? You know how many times I've had people say to me things like, well, it can't be, but I just don't know if it's God or not. You're right. The devil's going to go tell you to pray for somebody. Right? The devil's going to tell you to give money to somebody. The devil's going to tell you to quote scripture. No, he's not. Jude 2:20, but you beloved, pray in the Holy Ghost, build yourselves in the most holy faith. The devil's not going to tell you to pray in tongues to build yourself in the holy faith. So where do you think that comes from? There's only two sides. There's either God or the devil, okay? And I guarantee you the devil's not going to tell you to pray, read the word, or pray in the spirit, or anything else too. It's going to be God. Hope you brought your energy drinks. Stay awake tonight. did you bring Mark tonight? He's got a sucker, so we got some triggers all night. We got some sugar babies. Are they working yet? I don't know. See, we need to get out of this because the revelation of righteousness. Man, I am just way off. Revelation. Hey, there we go. We got our cranked up. I was like, looking at the right way. I don't know what happened.
That was perfect.
Oh, yay! But the revelation of righteousness, it has the understanding that God has positioned us as His sons and daughters. And we've been given a royalty into the kingdom of God because of the blood of Jesus. You understand?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, you are not going to... You know what? That's the thing where I can agree to the devil and come and say, you're dirty, blah, 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 blah. You know what? You're right. I'm not good enough. But Jesus is. He's the one that I'm in covenant with. So that means a covenant. What covenant means is, guess what? All of His... okay, I'm going to get kind of a financial term here, but we've got some people that do accounting here, and there's what we call liabilities, right? And there's assets. Assets mean things that are, like cash in the bank and things like that, right? And liabilities are the things you write checks out and things. So, God's spiritual bank account is under a covenant, it means that I can tap into his assets, right? Everything is his, is mine in a covenant. And he doesn't have any liabilities, right? God doesn't have any, the Lord doesn't have any, baggage, per se. But guess who does? You and I, right? See, under the covenant, what it means is this: what's yours is mine, what's mine is yours. That's why the Bible talks about rolling, casting our cares on Him because He cares for us. He's going to take care of us. What does that mean? It means we only receive blessings in this deal, guys. I'm telling you right now. It's all blessings, right? Because God has no liabilities. He has no depression that we need to take on. He has nothing. God doesn't have any bills. God doesn't have any debt. The only debt was paid, that he had was he bankrupted heaven. Jesus came down and paid a debt for us. That was our debt. Sin. Yeah. Disobedience. Right? Sin is death. Wages of sin is death, Romans says. So, what happens is this, in our righteousness position, the revelation of righteousness, because of the righteousness, because of the blood, we receive everything, all the blessings that we have here. Oh, we're right there in Ephesians, aren't we? Let's just turn there. And in fact, Galatians. I'm sorry, Galatians. Just right there. Just turn back chapter. Should spend some time on this, but I don't spend a little time tonight. Galatians chapter 3. Oh man, bring your shopping clothes on, bring your shopping pants. Fuck it. Thanksgiving, you bring your stretchy pants. See, that's your problem. That's not dirty. Yeah. I got some stretchy pants on. Well, I got my shopping pants on tonight. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us, come here, us. Is that you? That's me. Yes. Us. From the curse of the law. What was the curse of the law? You sinned, you died, you dirty scoundrel. That's the curse of the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stinks to be you kind of deal. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Well, guess who hung on a tree? Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right? Because he became the curse for us. That means All the junk that we committed, it was on him on the cross. And in fact, the word talks about he wasn't even human at that point. Verse 16. Now to Abraham, his seed, his promises. which are now ours. I love this part here because verse 14, I'm sorry, that the blessing of Abraham, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, but through faith.
Amen.
That covenant that God cut with Abraham, right? And can I tell you something else too? I mean, I don't want to get too deep now, but when you cut covenant, you take an animal, you split it in half, you fold it out, and then you exchange all the weapons and everything else too, and you walk through the sacrifice. Do you realize Abraham did not walk through the sacrifice, but the flame, the Holy Spirit did? God cut covenant with God on that day. And guess what? God also cut covenant with himself when Christ died on the cross. You had nothing to do with the covenant. Nothing. So why are we trying to figure everything out ourselves? Why are we trying to get God to do things? When we were never involved in it in the first place, God said, you guys get out of the way. I'm going to take care of everything. I'm going to destroy the devil. Like Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth who went about doing good to all who were oppressed of the devil, right? See, the devil wants to pull you into a natural fight because he can defeat you, because he can get your thinking and get you off course. But he'll lose when we stay in the spirit realm.
Yes.
See, if we always focus on our righteousness, our position with God, he's already lost.
Yeah.
We can fight the fiery darts of the enemy. Guess what? We had nothing to do with the day when Abraham cut covenant with God. We had nothing to do with it when God cut covenant with Jesus there on the cross. We had nothing to do with it. He took care of it all. Why? Because he's the perfect sacrifice. He wanted to give himself for us to redeem us. The righteousness is a position that he gives us. We didn't earn. There's nothing that we deserve about it. But that's the point. Like your own kids. They don't deserve things sometimes. Or they don't have the ability to buy things for themselves. They don't have the ability to go get their food for themselves. They don't have the ability. Why? Because it's your love that you give them something they don't deserve.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, you don't like that? This should set you free tonight. I'm telling you right now.
Yes.
You should be able to walk out of here and say, see, I struggle with this a lot too because, you know, I had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God like all of us, but I thought that God was mad at us, right? Because when I was in church, my thinking was God only spoke to the very spiritual people, right? No one else. The more we walk with him, the more he wants to commune with us. But the point is this, that, you know, the more you walk with him, the more you want to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I always had I struggled with this so long that, you know, I thought God was mad at me and everything else too. Well, that had nothing to do with it. I just didn't have the teaching. I didn't have the understanding. Well, what's the Bible say? My people perish for what? A lack of knowledge, right? If you don't know, you don't know. And you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil loves taking advantage of ignorant people. Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't like people like me. And he doesn't like people like all of you here that have an understanding of it. Why? Because he can't fool you. Oh, man. Where am I here? What's going on here? Jeremiah 29:11, I'll read some scriptures and we'll kind of close. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. What? Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you what? An expected end. Or, some translations say, a hope. We want hope tonight. They want hope?
Yes.
Well, there's hope.
Yes.
Everybody's like, well,
I mean, to get hope again.
Well, the whole Bible is all about hope. Faith.
I mean, if you don't have hope, you can't have faith. Hebrews tells us that. Hope is what the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen yet, right? The hope is the desire. If you don't have hope, you're lost. Hope is the desire of something. I always said, I do not have hope for a gremlin car. Okay? It's just never going to happen. All right? All right? I might have some joke probably years down the road where I'm like, hey, Pastor, we got your gremlin.
It's going to be like that
novel. I would love to wrap it up, clip, baby. Yeah!
I'm not fine with it.
I'm kidding. But they're just saying things like, you know, if you don't want it, then. But God gives us unexpected. He gives us hope. Amen. And then it says, Psalms 91:16, it says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And we think of salvation, you're saying a prayer, well done. Salvation is deliverance out of anything that you need. Salvation, what is salvation? The sozo, that Greek word, it talks about salvation is not only born again, but it's everything that we need. Salvation. It's deliverance from everything that we need. There's healing in that word. There's provision in that word, right? I wish above all things you'd be in health and prosper, even as your what?
Soul.
Ability to fight the fiery darts. Right? Wish above all things you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. What is our soul prospering? It is taking on Ephesians chapter 6 and fighting against the fiery darts. That's all our job is to get our thinking straight so we can get in line with the Word and get our mouth connected with what God has for us to do. And to do it. And to do it. What? To be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. Therefore, deceiving ourselves, right?
Yeah.
No Espanol? What did you want to say? He's looking at me like, huh? Are you going to walk? Do not let the devil take your lunch, right? Because the more you understand the heavenly revelation of your righteousness, what belongs to you, it's covenant, it belongs to you. All these things belong to you. They are, you own them now. Because of what Christ did for you.
Yes.
We don't have to beg God, we don't have to plead with him or anything else. It is based on our covenant, Galatians chapter 3, everything that Abraham had now is now mine. Go read that covenant. Yeah, that's good. But guess what? It also says that now we're in a better covenant with Christ. Right? Oh man, I wish you could go farther. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your ability to withstand those fiery darts from the enemy, are you going to listen to him? Or are you going to stand up and say, this is what belongs to me, devil? Hallelujah. You know why when I have the devil tries to say things to me or anything, I just like to praise. He doesn't like praise. Doesn't like that. We start praising God, and I start talking about the blood of Jesus. And all of a sudden, the old voice gets a little softer. Right? Then I start talking about how, oh yeah, by the way, it's just going to be so great when you're in the lake of fire. And I love that. I'm just so full of joy now because, right? He doesn't stick around very long when you start talking about Jesus and the blood and how he is greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if he can't manipulate you, then he'll take off. What did Jesus do the three times? It says there, after he came up out of Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, when he came up, John the Baptist, his cousin, was baptizing, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and then the Jesus only people, and you need to explain to me why the Holy Spirit came onto him like a dove, and then the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased, and the Trinity's there at one spot, which is, you know, different times, but when Jesus rose up, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. What did he do? It is written, it is written, and it is written, right?
Mm-hmm.
He understood what? His position. when the devil figured it out, this isn't working very well. It's like Mr. Gary and I were talking earlier, or you know, Mr. Gary was talking about being a teamwork. You know, Jesus didn't do this alone. He had the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got the Holy Spirit today too, right? We're not in this alone. The Bible says we're not like orphans. We're not alone. We've got the greater one living on the inside of us. That was a good song. I love this song. Never leave us, never forsake us. He's in us. We've got the Holy Spirit. He's upon us. He's empowering us. Everywhere we go. I'll close with the story. I remember my he's for us the former dean. He used to be the dean of RHEMA. Gary Crowley, he's like, hey, I've been everywhere and done everything kind of guy. And I remember one time he had done some work in Haiti, RHEMA Haiti there. Anyway, he was there one time. He said he's talking to a witch doctor that got born again. Baptized the Holy Spirit, was part of the school. He said, you know, every time we would have our seances and we would be into our, rituals, he says, every time you walked by, you, all you Christians in your group, you would walk by, it would disrupt everything. See, we don't understand what we're carrying with us, right? We've got a nuclear weapon on the inside, and we don't have any idea or revelation. I don't think the church does. Those of us who were born again, spirit-filled. But when the enemy is cannot stand next to you because of the power of God in and upon us, that tells you something.
Amen.
Right? I remember just being in Africa and seeing people demon-possessed, and, one of them come running at me. And like, really? This is what I've got to put up today? You know, got delivered right there, right? Like, so understand, it doesn't matter what the devil does, he is under my feet because of my covenant with God. If it's devil against God, guess who's going to win? Should I even answer that question? No. But it's understanding who God is and understanding that He has the power and the ability and the willingness. We didn't even touch on the scripture. Read 1 John. Mm-hmm. All about love. All about God's compassion for you. 1 John 5:14, it talks about how we can ask Him that's in His will. He's going to give it to us. But you know, John does a master job of right before that telling us about God's love for us.
Mm-hmm.
Loves us so much. And then, hey, when we go to Him, when we ask Him for anything, He's going to do it. But He always prefaces it with love. Mm-hmm. Even in the Bible, too, there's a mastery of what God does when he writes his word. You ever look at things like when Jesus showed up? I'll show up sometime, I promise. But when Jesus shows up and heals everybody, compassion is an operation when mm-hmm. things happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Always notice those key words with God. See, that's how we get out of religion and things like that. We can see God's heart towards us before He does things. Or what is God's motivation when He's doing things? How does the Holy Spirit reveal things in the Word to us? See, we want to take things and decide, focus on one scripture. But part of hermeneutics is reading what's before it and what's after it. See, we need to read things in context. We talk about things like, for example, Mark 11:22. You'll say it's about, be thou rude, be thou cast on, she shall not die, and sorry, and she'll be with those things they say, and they shall come to pass. We want to look at that, but we don't see that God requires a heart issue after that about holding grudges towards people, being in unforgiveness. See, everything in the spirit realm is a heart issue, is a relationship issue with God. God is always motivated by love, and because He's always motivated by love, He always wants the best for mm-hmm. us. See, sin consciousness says, I'm dirty, I'm not good enough, everything's awful, and God is saying, you're wonderful, I love you, you're the apple of my eye, I want more for you, I want better for you. He can believe. Got a decision. Just like Deuteronomy says, choose life. You got life and death. Right? It's your decision. Father, thank you tonight.
Thank you so much.
You're wonderful, Jesus.
Yes, you're
You're incredible, Lord. You're amazing, God. We love you tonight, Lord. I pray tonight. We have a revelation of righteousness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And it's not because of what we do, but because it's the power of the cross.
Amen.
It's the power of the blood. It's
Amen.
The stripes that were shed. Lord, it's you in Ephesians and going down to hell and coming back up and giving us gifts in Ephesians 4:11, Lord God. Delivering us, Lord God. Destroying the works of the devil
yes.
so that we can have life and have it more abundantly, Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you. Bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Have a great week.
Amen.